course, is in the chat, which I love. Welcome to War of the Bay. I am Kyle.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Anthony.
And as I was just saying during the theme song, nobody was in the chat except for Andrew Grape Welsh 13. So thank you for joining us pre-Thanksgiving night, the biggest drinking night of the year, apparently.
I heard that too.
Yeah.
I was surprised by that.
I'm not.
Really?
Well, we know why Anthony's surprised by it, guys, because Anthony's newly 21.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to Anthony.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
I
don't remember any of it, but I'm sure it was
good. Then it was a good 21st.
Yeah. Who remembers our 21st birthday? Losers, that's who. I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message. Sorry, I'm getting too political. Yeah, apparently it's the biggest drinking night of the year. I kind of had inklings of that thought in previous years. When you go to ABC Liquor on this night, it's just it's a nut house. It's just crazy.
I always thought New Year's Eve.
Yeah, New Year's Eve is probably like one of it's probably up there.
Well, hear me out. This is the holiday that everybody celebrates. Not saying that not everybody celebrates New Year's, but not everybody drinks hardcore on New Year's. A lot of people need alcohol to deal with their families during this time of the year. So think about all the normal people that are going out and buying alcohol in excess instead of just the, you know, us.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, I don't think it's any coincidence that when you walk through a Publix this week, that every single beer is tagged on sale. It's
yes,
just
that's it.
Yeah, it's just the holidays, man. You're around your family. You're off from work. I got 4 days off from work, so it's time to cut loose and talk some sports.
Yeah.
And where else? Where should we start? I think we're in a good flow talking Lightning first and Bucks second. I kind of want to keep that.
All right. I can continue that trend.
Yeah, I want to make that until the Lightning have a bigger, you know, we're approaching the dog days of hockey almost.
Yeah, it's middle of the season.
Yeah,
getting close to the middle.
It's kind of.
I love it.
Teams are starting to shake out who they are, who they really are, who's fake and who's for real.
We've already got our devastating injury out of the way early.
Oh yeah, great.
You know, it's
and more just keep coming down the pipe.
More down the pipe. Yeah. So it is what it is. We can talk hockey here. And there actually I was looking today. There isn't a whole ton to talk about either, because we only had two games between the last time we podcasted and this time. We played the Phillies, or not the Phillies, but the we played the Flyers on Saturday, and then we had the Predators on Monday, and that was it, really. I mean, that was it. Yeah,
we just 4-1 on the road trip.
4-1. That is
hell of a road trip.
Yeah, you road trips. You're just looking to go 500. Usually, you're just looking to break even. So. We almost went undefeated. That is,
yep,
it's awesome.
It's huge for that. And I'd like to point out, if you see in the East, that's just us keeping pace. Like, we needed to do that.
Oh yeah, yeah. The Montreal's not showing any signs of slowing down, it looks like.
But I want to talk about Vasilevskiy's in the Flyers game with a shutout, his second shutout in a row.
in a row.
That's we might not even need Stamkos if that keeps happening. You know, I'm not going to say he's going to shut out every game. He's not going to shut him out every game. But if he keeps this kind of this level of play up, then this whole Stamkos injury isn't going to impact us as much as we thought it would.
The thing with Vasilevskiy that I've noticed is he's just so timely with his saves. When we really need a big save, when they're starting to gain momentum, the other team, he just like turns it on. And it's really fun to watch when he's on his game. Like I told Kyle on Twitter over the DMs, like he's so locked in right now that it's hard to make a case to start Bishop over him.
Yeah, it's what's kind of being shown to me, and it's being made a little more clear is how useful he is. And we talked about how Bishop was one of the best puck moving goalies and how that was going to be kind of a something to get used to, like with Vasilevskiy. But You know what I noticed is he doesn't, maybe not doesn't take as much chances is not the right way to place it, but he has the, I feel like, the most timely stoppage of play. Like, snags a puck, sees that there's a momentum going for the other team, and he's intelligently stopping it.
Yeah. I mean, I 100% agree with you, Nick. He's not only super athletic, but he seems to be a really calm and collected goalie on the ice. He always seems to be in control of things, which wasn't how he was when he first got up here, obviously. But he's definitely improved a lot of areas of his game very quickly, quicker than I would have expected.
Yeah, which yeah, is why I don't know if I kind of want to temper my expectations, or at least I feel like this is the first season where we really do figure out what kind of goalie he is. Like, is this just kind of a elevated level of play for him over the course of a short period of time, or is this really who he is? Like, that's what I'm wondering.
I think I don't want to call it yet because I still think it's too early in his career, but I think he'd be trending towards this is what he is. Not shutouts every night. You can't expect that from any goalie, really, but he's just...
Yeah, no one's going
to
stay perfect.
He's got, and it's been said before, I'm not the first one to say, he has top five potential in this league, I think.
I think he certainly shows those flashes of it, you know?
But it's becoming more consistent.
Right, it is.
Like, even when he first got up here, he would... In his rookie year, he would make those flashes where he slid across the crease with ridiculous athleticism and twisted his body and made a save. And then he would let in a soft goal like three shots later.
Can I ask you two a question as a...
No.
As an... Oh, damn it. Son of a bitch. See, you ruined Thanksgiving.
Why'd you ask?
I ruined Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving's over. As a non-hockey first guy... would you compare a shutout to like a goalie shutout to a pitcher shutout? Like if a pitcher goes a complete game shutout, that's a huge thing in baseball. Is that the same way in hockey for a goalie shutout? Would you say?
I would say yeah.
Similar. Yeah.
Well, let me rephrase. Okay, I think it depends on how the team played in front of the goalie that night. If Vasi only faces like 15 shots that and he gets a shutout, it's a lot different than if he faces like 35 shots and gets a shutout,
right?
Because his workload was a lot less. It's still impressive, but his workload was less.
I'm just saying, for me, from like a baseball perspective, me being a baseball fan, if Chris Archer goes out there and he throws two complete game shutouts, that's huge. That's like a big thing.
Yeah. That's massive.
Yeah, so like for Vasilevskiy's to have two essentially complete game shutouts, I mean, does that hold the same weight? Would you guys, okay, in your opinion?
There is something similar that they share, but it's measured differently. So in baseball, a complete game shutout is a super rare, very big accomplishment, right?
Right.
A shutout is in hockey is also an accomplishment, but I think you're more looking like to comparing a timed shutout streak. Like Vasilevskiy at the moment has a seven period shutout streak going on?
Yeah, knock on wood right now.
Right.
Yeah. I just did before I said it.
Yeah. Yep.
But that's a measurement that a goalie or a team or somebody statistically can look through in hockey and say, yeah, that guy's on fire right now.
But at the same time, perfect example, he only faced two shots in the first period.
It's very true. Absolutely.
So
I chose to measure it by periods.
Yeah. So like a pitcher has to face every batter in a complete game shutout to get through it. Yeah. A goalie, you know, it varies night to night. Some shutouts are ridiculous. Like Bishop's had some 40 save shutouts in the past. And those are just like, you know, he is the defense that night. And then he's had some like 15 shot shutouts where the team was playing really well in front of him. He didn't have to do a whole lot. You know, it just depends, I think.
Yeah.
No, I would agree.
Yep.
Is there,
so,
really strange.
I mean,
one kind of 1 o'clock game. Did you have something to add to that, Nick? I'm sorry.
No. We can go on straight to the coverage.
Yeah,
you're right. It was an odd 1 o'clock time start.
Yeah. Tyler Johnson had a goal. Palat had a goal. Drouin had a goal. In this game,
after getting his shit rocked again
after, yeah, but
dirty ass elbow. Welcome to Philly.
I still thought that are you saying Druin or Palat?
Druin. Yeah, he caught an elbow.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
That team is just so dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought Palat played well. He got the assist on the Druin goal with the pass, and just kind of people stepping up around the throughout each line in the absence of Stamkos, just like Anthony said last week. I mean, Tyler Johnson had to step up. You see a lot of different guys that need to fill that massive void that Stamkos leaves in your lineup. And
can't just be one guy stepping up.
Yeah, one person can't fill that void.
Right.
It's got to be a bunch of guys chipping in and contributing to fill it. Kucherov, it's nice, like I said last week, it's nice to have Kucherov because he is an elite scorer, to balance that out. But
it's very nice to have a 1B.
Yeah, the way Stamkos was going this year, you're probably taking 40 goals out of the lineup.
Yeah, I would think so. Did you see that quote by John Cooper that came out this week? It was something like, yeah, we're used to adversity. I mean, you guys call it adversity, but we just call it Tuesday.
Yeah.
Like something yes. akin to that. Yeah, I'm paraphrasing, yeah. But yeah.
He's not kidding.
No, he's not. I mean, that's literally like as Lightning fans. I mean, I said earlier in the podcast, I'm like, yeah, we got our debilitating injury out of the way early because that's just what happens. Yeah,
neither of us blinked an eye at the statement. It's just something that we kind of, we expected.
Yeah. And it sucks that it's Stamkos because
of course it sucks.
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking too about this whole injury prone thing? It's all about what the casual fan thinks. And every casual fan out there is saying that he's injury prone. And we, the three of us and probably,
perception.
Yeah, probably the people listening as well. Most of the people listening would say, no. There's two freak incidents. And then this one was,
this was a true, if there was three of these injuries, then you could say it's trending. This is the first one he actually did it to himself.
Right. In air quotes, did it to himself. But I mean,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yzerman talked about it this week. He had the same injury, but the difference was that his couldn't be repaired.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's, if you've ever seen the video, I think it's that same game where he played in the playoff game basically on one leg.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, I think that was that injury.
Wow,
I think
wow.
so. Ray Balch will tell you because he's followed the Wings for a long time.
Oh, yeah. I got to get that checked.
I think it was.
But I think that perception amongst,
to the rescue.
I think that perception amongst Tampa Bay fans, the casual Tampa Bay fans, is out there that he's injury prone. I mean, I see it. Look at the Facebook comments and all the
why do you look at the Facebook?
I'm just saying that's like
that's what I was going to ask.
If the three of us were to ask our moms, like, hey mom, like, what do you think of Stamkos? She'd be like, oh yeah, I hear he's good, but he just can't seem to stay on the ice. You know, that's what she would say.
My mom would be like, who?
Yeah, or who? Yeah.
I mean, listen, there is some validity to the fact that, yeah, he hasn't been on the ice these past few years in big stretches. But like we talked about, when you look at why, it's a lot different. But if you just looked at the games he's missed, you would definitely think, oh, this guy's injury prone.
And by the way,
if you look at the on paper, he's injury prone. In real life, he plays hard.
Bad luck.
Andrew, who is a Red Wings fan, says in all caps, he says, we don't talk about the Yzerman injury. So
yeah,
it wasn't just one game. He played a whole playoff run on one leg.
Jesus Christ. All right, well, let's move on to the next game here. There isn't terribly much to talk about the game itself. Because we got blown out by the Nashville Predators. They're a Western Conference team. We always tend to not play the Western Conference too terribly well during the regular season. And I guess in the playoffs either. I don't know.
The one time we played a Western Conference team in the playoffs, we did pretty well.
It's true. There was that one time, but I'd say we're 1-for-2 against the West in the playoffs. So we go into Nashville on a Monday to end the road trip. I mean, that's kind of, it almost felt like a buzzsaw to me. I mean, they're a tough team. They're a team that's going to be in the playoffs this year. And
yeah,
they're underperforming team. Their record is not what they are. They'll turn it on. They'll start going on a streak here soon. They're too talented not to. It's just one of those teams.
So Ben Bishop starts Monday. I mean,
it was his birthday.
What do you think? I mean, any thoughts on that? I mean, after Vasilevskiy has two consecutive shutouts, he gets put on the bench. I mean, do we agree with that move?
Good job, kids. Sit down.
Well, I know what Cooper's doing, and he's trying to manage a very delicate situation when it comes to goalies, because they're weird creatures, as we've talked about before, and you can hurt a guy's confidence if you start taking away his starts that he's supposed to get. It's a hard situation for Coop, I think.
Yeah.
Because Vasi is clearly showing that he's more than capable of being the number one. But you can't just turn away from the guy who's been there for these past few years and carried this team at times.
Well, Bishop's won the most most games as a goaltender in the NHL for over the last 3 years. And yeah. I understand that's not a large sample size, but I mean, he's been our rock when he's healthy.
Well, plus you gotta drive up that trade value, son. You gotta get him some quality starts. Yeah. Gotta get him out there.
Put good tape on.
Yeah. Yep. I kid.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, it's
smart to do. It's right.
Especially when you got Guzleski's waiting in the wings, who also looks to be pretty solid.
He's probably not going to be
goalie prospects. Yeah, you don't think so?
No, I think it's going to be Wilcox.
Oh, I see. Well,
I think he's performed more consistently.
Colorado?
From Minnesota.
What college did he go to?
Minnesota,
yeah.
Oh, he's a northern. He's one of those northern boys. Hey.
He's a golden gopher.
He's fine. He grew up in the snow there, so I'm sure he's going to be fine.
He grew up in the snow. He's clearly qualified to be a goaltender.
Let's talk about the big thing from this game. That was the JT Brown Ryan Ellis altercation. Would you call it?
I'd call it that. Yeah. I'd call it a pounding.
Whooping.
Oh man, watching that hit again, like we just watched it.
Kyle, can you screen?
I'm going to screen share that right now for you, Nick. Let me put you on here. Bear with us for a second.
Yeah, that I've seen clips and highlights, but you know, most of what I've seen is what we're going to talk about after this.
Oh, I see. Okay. Ryan Ellis puts a hurting on JT Brown
with a minute 30 to go in the real game.
Yeah, I don't know what. I don't know enough about hockey to comment on the hit itself. It looked pretty skeezy to me. Looked like he kind of launched into him.
I think the main thing about this hit is where the puck is, and the puck is nowhere near JT Brown.
Right.
At this point. He's not expecting to get hit. He doesn't have the puck, and all of a sudden he gets blindsided. They say it's retaliation for a hit Brown threw earlier, but that hit was clean. Like, there's no debating that. Like, he didn't leave his feet. He led with the shoulder. He didn't aim for the head. Like, it was a clean hit. It was just a big hit. And that's, like, that's the difference for me. If Brown had thrown a dirty hit earlier in the game, I would have understood. But he didn't. And that hit was so dangerous. And so I'm just trying to hurt you. And look, now Brown's hurt tonight. He's not playing tonight.
Right.
And look, the guy was on the ground. What, he's going to wait for him to get up off the ground after taking a hit like that? No. He's got him in a vulnerable position. He's going to wail on him. And you can say that's a piece of shit move. And yeah, in some circles it might
be. Taking that hit's a piece of shit move.
Yeah, it's a piece of shit hit. And that's just all it is. And yeah. It's clearly just trying to hurt a guy. Like, that's all you're doing there. Yeah. And JT's got to protect himself. Like, what is he supposed to take that hit and skate away? Like, no.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
And his, you know, it's his reputation. He's a fourth line forward. It's what he does. It's, yeah. It gets under the other people's skin, agitate. Like, maybe not so much in this game, but you never want to show to your teammates, you know, let alone the rest of the league, that you're willing to take a hit and be like,
and the Flyer score.
Lovely.
Soft goal. Great. Lavassia went off his
glove. Awesome.
As soon as we get done talking about it.
Yeah. You know, okay.
Anywho, let's get on to the the aftermath.
Well, hold on. I got a take on this. I mean, when you look at like your typical hockey fights, like I think Radko Gudas and
Brown.
And JT Brown, they fought in the Philly game, and that was that was a hockey fight. You know, the two guys, they drop the gloves, they fight, they punch each other. I think they did a lot of body blows and try to go for the head a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot of stomach.
Yeah, and then they like the refs break them up. They pat each other, they smack each other on the head as if to say, you know, fuck you, good fight. And then they skate away. This was just like this was like NFL like vicious style melee. Yeah, he's like JT Brown clearly like was like fuck this guy, like went to go all in and like punches to the face, and the was still like fighting the ref as the ref was like backing him off, and he was like fuck you, no, I'm gonna kill him. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's. It looked like a really just really shitty move by Ryan Ellis to put that kind of a hit on him, especially being up by three. And
well, just to how he approached him, you know, blind side, puck's not near him. If you notice, he led with his breaking skate behind JT Brown's knee. So the guy couldn't do anything other than fall down.
Yeah.
Right.
Like he knew what he was doing. You gotta understand, in a situation like this, the player who's initiating the hit controls everything. Because JT Brown could have positioned himself better had he known he was going to get fucking clocked.
Yeah, well, Nick, I mean, you and we're all from the South. We've been on the end of this. We know what the fuck this is called. It's crackback. He's crackbacked, right?
Yeah, it's a crackback.
Yeah, like that's what happens when you're not paying attention. You get crackbacked. It's it sucks. And I certainly want to punch the shit out of the guy that cracked back me, but it's just something that happens. It's kind of hilarious when because I got it once we were playing a pickup football game, and like every once in a while we would have the Northeast High School football team. They would play with us.
They would send some guys out.
A few guys with them would
it's
play
not
with
a
us.
Recipe for good things.
Oh Jesus! It was a kickoff, and I'm just kind of jogging down the field, and you know the play gets in front of me, and then I'm kind of running back towards the play. Then all of a sudden, boom! I like leave my feet. I'm like, oh, I can't breathe. Oh my God! Just it sucked getting cracked back.
You think you died,
yeah.
And then you wake up and you're like, ow.
Yeah, and you feel like you got a shit, like you feel like you got to take a big shit. like that's what it feels. That is a crackback. So I'm sure JT Brown's got.
JT Brown was just really mad because he had to take a shit.
He was probably prairie dogging a little bit after that play, which explains his walk back to the locker room.
With the phone?
Yeah, with the phone. I guess he smacked a phone out of a Preds fan.
When are people going to learn that you don't stick cameras in the face of angry people?
I think it's not smart to stick a. Anybody who's like, I understand that it was for a hockey fight, but anybody who just got into a fight, don't try and interview that person because they just got into a fight and they're willing to fight.
Yep.
Yeah. Especially, I guess, Nick, didn't you just say that JT Brown came out today and he's going to replace the phone after the
thing?
No,
that was Mr. Anthony over there.
Yeah, before the podcast.
Did he say that?
Guys at? Yeah.
Okay. So then, whatever. I mean, the fan was being an asshole. JT
the
Brown.
The guy's getting an upgrade, blah, blah, blah.
JT Brown was being an asshole. Everybody was being an asshole on all counts of this incident, so... I don't know. Move along. It's really a non-story. I don't really see much of it on Twitter.
It's a non-story.
Yeah. Anthony's.
I will say this though. I don't know if there's any validity to it. I know it's. I mean, what are you reporting on if you're not reporting on anything other than speculation? But apparently, there was some racist slurs being hurled.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I just, yeah, I would. The reason I say I don't doubt it is because JT Brown is the only African American player on our team. Yeah. You know, he's like.
Well, Nashville also has kind of, Subban, so you would think they would.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be that way.
Well, you look at the current climate of the country, and that sort of behavior has been sort of emboldened, should I say? Like the people feel like they're allowed to get away with that kind of shit now.
I guess. I mean, it's who knows what exactly that person said to JT, but obviously something that made him reach up and smack that phone out of their hand.
It kind of just looks like JT looked up and said, "Hey, fucking phone, fuck you, yeah. I'm in the locker room, bitch." And what?
Take that.
I don't know if he dropped it or
gravity.
What.
Let me introduce you to gravity.
Yeah, whatever. It's stupid. Eh. I wonder if he broke the. Did he break the phone?
I like Good, the, I hope
the,
he did.
The headline is "Smashes Fan's iPhone." He just kind of like.
How did
they
get the video off the phone if it broke? Did they just crack the screen, maybe, or something?
It probably cracked the screen.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Maybe it has iCloud.
Anthony, you want to stay like
immediately
on the mic?
I'm sorry. It's we okay. Probably shouldn't have this game on.
I've had to scold. I've scolded many of people. Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll move the game here.
Yeah.
In the second half. Speaking of which, I think we'll take a quick break.
Successfully move on to.
We'll move on to football. Once again, there will be a seamless transition for you fans out there. And then a ham-fisted advertisement placed live on the podcast. But we're going to take a break. What's up, guys? You're already listening to this podcast, so you know the deal. Go to lootcrate.com/shark, put in the promo code SharkTrapper, save yourself 10% off your first Loot Crate. Loot Crate is just epic geek and gamer items for nerds and for anything. I've got one myself. It's cool. Every month they have a theme. The theme changes month to month. Right now, they're kind of in between themes, so I don't know what the December theme will be. It's probably something with Christmas, if I had to guess. Or something with... I bet it's Star Wars. They're probably going to do some kind of Star Wars box because they tend to do boxes based on, like, the movie that's out. They did one for Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Guarantee you they'll do, like, a Rogue One sort of box. So if you're into that kind of stuff, it's really, really cool stuff. So head on over to lootcrate.com/shark. Put in the promo code SharkDropper. Save yourself 10% off your first Loot Crate and go geek out with them. Okay.
Okay.
Rivalry weekend. Go. Ooh. Fight. You and Anthony, fight.
Fight.
Who's better?
I'll fight you, Anthony.
Who's better? The Gators or the Seminoles?
The Knights.
The Seminoles.
The Golden. Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about Vegas.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about Vegas. So yeah. We want to talk about that. What'd you guys
really
think?
Really quickly, we're gonna sandwich in just a little more hockey because it's 'tis the season.
Pretty big deal. I say Wicko.
Yeah.
I do. So, did you guys notice that it's not the Las Vegas Golden Knights? It's the Vegas Golden Knights?
Yeah, we're going to be the Bay Lightning and the Jose Sharks.
Bay Lightning.
The Jose Sharks.
I like that because it's kind of a play on words because Golden Knights, like they have Golden N-I-G-H-T-S.
Yeah.
With, you know, with all their lights and all that shit. And then you have Golden Knights as like a mascot. That's pretty cool. The logo.
Logo's nice. I like the logo.
Yeah, because it has the, not only does it have like the knight helmet, but there's a V in there.
It looks really good on a hat.
I was about to say, it looks like it would reprint very nicely. Yeah. You know, there are more complicated. Remember the 90s logos, the stretch of the over complication. Like this is the exact opposite of that. This is the modernist.
Their secondary logo is nice too, actually. It's that one right there. Kyle,
yeah.
Swords
yeah.
And star.
That little sword.
I think the Golden Knights is a bit of a mouthful, but I said the same thing about the Blue Jackets, and that sounds normal now.
I'm a fan of it. I think they did a good job. I'll really know when we see the jerseys. They said I'm probably not going to see them until like March or something like that, but they've got a really nice color scheme to make some cool jerseys.
Yeah. I'm hoping they do something similar to Anaheim. That's what their color scheme kind of reminds me of. And the V, like I would like, I think the Golden Knight logo on a hat would look cool, but I think I'd like to see a hat with just the V on it. You know, wouldn't that be sweet? Like
I like their font a lot. Their Vegas font.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
They're making good moves.
I heard a rumor that their goal song is going to be Viva Las Vegas. I heard a rumor about that.
Who called it?
And Jeremy Roenick in the break of this game was talking about Ben Bishop, the new starting goaltender for the Golden Knights.
It's probably going to happen, man.
Yeah.
Someone, they've been talking about like possible expansion rosters, and it's going to be the most boring hockey roster ever assembled. Like, it's just a,
the who's who of C pluses.
Yeah. I don't know. I like what they did with the team. Obviously, there's a long way to go, but I think this is a good first step. And people were dogging them because they're always going to be like the butt of jokes because they're Vegas. Like,
so are we. We're Florida and hockey, and you know, son of a bitch, we won a cup and we still don't have any validity.
Yep.
We still get a ton of shit. I hope it works. I mean, it doesn't. On the outside looking in, it doesn't seem like it's going to work. But I mean, I
what
can't.
Do you mean? What makes you say that, Kyle?
Well, just. Because Vegas is such a small little area. I mean, it's just that one city. I mean, I guess the population, they've obviously done a lot more studies than I have based on my casual knowledge.
Based on you're just, not doing any.
You know, I've played Fallout New Vegas, so I kind of know the area. You know, you got Novak, you got.
I heard they'll have good security for death calls.
They got the Armatrons and the what is it called? Mr. Big or
don't
whatever.
Look at me.
Yeah, I don't know. He's got the silver chip. He's gonna make sure everything's gonna be okay there. Yeah. So
okay, I'm glad you brought up the silver aspect of it, because isn't Nevada supposed to be the silver?
Yeah.
Silver state?
Yeah, that was the thing that people were floating around. They were gonna be the silver. Yeah, they were gonna be the silver knights, but didn't happen.
Yeah, Golden Knights makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. There was a few names. There was Black Knights, Desert Knights, and Golden Knights that were floating around.
I mean, it makes a lot more.
I hate
Desert
how attached
Knights.
To Knights they were.
I would have liked Desert Knights a lot better. Because
yeah, would have made sense, because it would have been two things.
Yeah, and Golden just sounds weird. It sounds like pee, like Golden Showers, like Golden Knights.
Someone brought that up on Twitter.
Like, what kind of... Plus, because like, prostitution's legal in Nevada, so, like, you know, Golden Showers are pretty prevalent.
Whoa,
I mean,
I think that's a bit of a stretch.
Golden Knights!
I'm just disappointed that the NHL didn't let them go with a gambling angle, like aces or something like that.
Yeah, it's a little too on the nose, you know?
I guess so.
I feel like that's a little too, you know,
with the Las Vegas Aces.
Yeah.
We could have gone with like a World War II pilot theme.
That would have been nice.
Yeah.
That would have been because now, you know, Winnipeg Jets essentially have the Canadian Royal Air Force's logo as their logo.
I mean, the helmets could have those little leather flaps on the side.
Oh, Jesus. The Las Vegas Rat Pack. The Las Vegas Penn and Tellers. The Las Vegas
Siegfried and Roy. Yeah.
The loss.
Every game, one of the players is mauled by a tiger.
Their logo is a tiger mauling one guy.
The Las Vegas mortgage liens.
I'm glad they didn't go with something generic, like super generic. Like, this is close to generic, but not like Bulldogs.
The Las Vegas, oh my God, I spent it all and my wife's going to leave me.
Kyle,
I really wanted the Jokers.
Jokers would have been good.
Jokers would have been cool.
I thought
everybody would have tweeted the social media team Joker gifts all game long. Yeah. So.
What were you going to say, though?
I was going to say, going back to what you're saying, that you from the outside and looking in, it doesn't look like it's going to work.
Yeah.
Vegas has never had a pro sports team, have they?
They haven't. No, not that I can think
of. So they might
be
starved for one.
They have had some XFL and AFL teams.
I think they're a big enough area to support at least one professional franchise. And the reason I say hockey should work is hockey in the desert seems to be kind of like this like taboo thing, you know, like ice in the desert.
Oh, geez.
Like that, you know?
Oh-ho.
So just,
well,
what
you're going to have the Golden Knights, and then you have the Raiders. So
apparently, yeah. Apparently that's going to be a thing. They're gonna fit right in Vegas.
God, that'll be insane. The Raiders fans are just crazy. They're crazy. I'm gonna get stabbed in this game if I wear a Bucks jersey during Jesus Christ.
You got
don't think of it like that. The Oaklanders won't travel to Vegas if they go. You'll have Vegas Raider fans.
Well, now Grape Walsh is saying in the chat that the Raiders are staying.
Really?
I heard a new proposal, not a new proposal, but a new draft for something had worked up that kept Oakland kept the Raiders in Oakland.
Good. I mean, I am not for any team moving. So
I feel bad for St. Louis this year.
If anything, they should have been the team that moved to LA and not the Rams. Back to LA.
Yeah.
Oakland should have been the team that moved back to LA, not the 7-9 Jeff Fisher led Rams.
But hey, guys, nice transition. Let's maybe get to our team.
What team?
The football team.
The Tampa Bay Football Buccaneers.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to go talking about Bandits. I thought, no? Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess we can talk about the Bucs.
Not the Storm? They're still around, man.
How many teams left in that league?
Four.
They all make the playoffs.
Yeah, everybody makes
it. So why play the fucking season? Yeah. What are we doing here? Like, what's going on?
God damn it.
Participation. Everybody gets a ribbon.
I was just going on Reddit, and I type in reddit.com/r, and the first two subreddits that come up are porn subreddits. Oh, Kyle.
Of course.
Clear your browser history.
It's the internet.
You dummy. let's cover a couple things from the previous game that came out this week between now and the Rapid Reaction podcast. One of the biggest ones that I saw was Roberto Aguayo was named the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week.
Woo!
Which I am.
Ooh, 4-for-4 4-for-4 field goals, 1-for-1 extra points?
Extra points, yeah. Very big step for this guy. I'm not ready to fully trust him on every kick. At this point,
oh, God, no, I still hold my breath on anything over 40.
Yeah. Nick and I were watching the game last week and Nick's like, oh God, this is an automatic. And like in my head, I'm like, yeah, he's right. But like, I have to put on a cool, calm composure maybe he'll make it. And he drilled it. So from now on, I'll trust the kid. I'm going to trust the kid. How about that? Let's take a new approach to this whole thing and let's not say, oh God. Let's just say, okay, he's got this.
Still a stupid pick.
Still a stupid pick.
Still really stupid.
Yeah,
pick.
Second round.
Really dumb pick.
Still, like he better go perfect for the rest of the year for that pick to be like, all right, he just got to get his shakes out of the way.
Still a dumb pick.
You know, I think since that Monday night game where he hit the game winner, he's steadily improved from that point.
Yeah, I agree. I've been happy with look, we've talked about it a bunch, but as long as he's, you know, I don't want to see him fail, but it's just I still don't think he was the weapon that everybody advertised him as, from hitting like 50 yarders with consistency and stuff like that. Like, to be to be fair, we haven't really Coder had a chance to trot him out there for a 50 yarder last week against the Chiefs and he decided to punt instead. That probably had more to do with the win.
Yes.
You know
that was at the end of the first second quarter. Is that or that the end
I
of
forget
the, third
the time,
quarter?
But I just remember us punting from like the 35.
Yeah. Well, Kansas City punted in the same position in the and because they had the wind going against them. Yeah.
Yeah. You want to listen to the home team if they do something. You're kind of like, yeah, they know.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of defer to them. You know, when you're a kid and your mom buys you a Lego set and you know it comes with that big book of instructions. And you're putting that shit together. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I feel about Aguayo right now. Like we're in the first few pages of
this.
His
looks nothing like a pirate shoe.
Yeah,
this looks nothing.
Yeah, but like if the completed Lego set is his confidence, we're at about like page two or three of him fully building that up to kicker to NFL kicker level.
And then you accidentally stuck two of the flat pieces together.
Yeah, you're like, son of a bitch. Oh, but this one goes here. Shit. God damn it. And then didn't something else come out this week? Oh yes. Yes. Jameis Winston made the comment this week that I was saying. I said on the Rap Reaction podcast, and I said it to Nick. I said it both to Nick to Nick and Jesse at their place. But I was like, "You're just powering Jameis. You're powering up doing the war chop."
Yep.
The war chop.
The what do they call it? The war chant.
War chant. I don't really know, to be honest with you.
But he was
tomahawk chop.
Yeah, that.
He was loving it.
The most racist thing you can think of, just do that.
It is pretty racist. But so he admitted this week that he thought it was cool hearing it. He thought it kind of pumped him up a little bit.
Brought him back,
which I thought, you know, it would probably bring me back. I mean, I'll be honest, as a Bucks fan I have no allegiances to any college, but whenever I heard that chant, it kind of gave me a little bit of confidence in Jameis Winston, mm-hmm. because I knew that he loves hearing that chant. So,
so Kyle, should we do it at Ray J?
Well, yeah, the question came up, Derek Sharpell, friend of the podcast, friend of mine. He was a big proponent of putting that chant in Raymond James Stadium. There was a thread on Reddit this week, our Buccaneers, that also said, should we do the chop in Raymond James Stadium?
I mean, it's not just for him though. We got a kicker who happened to just graduate from them too.
Okay, that's true. But I mean, his argument was just that, like, yeah, it's, you know, he's getting hyped up from it. We need to be doing this. Like, is that?
How weird would that be, though, if we just, like, did the, we're pirates, yay!
Yeah. At a certain point, I'd be like, what are we doing? He's been a Buccaneer. Like, I think that's my whole argument is, like, okay, he's not a Seminole anymore. Like, whatever hyped him up in college.
Always going to be a Seminole.
Yeah, well, he is, but he had a moment with that, you know, early and whatever. But now he's a Buccaneer, so we have our dumb mouth breather chant. We have the
Tampa
Bay.
Yeah, that fires me up like a war chant.
I mean, fucking when you're drunk and we win a fucking game, you're goddamn right. I'm screaming out the way out of the game.
It's very easy to repeat.
Kyle's screaming it in traffic all the way like 5 blocks.
Nick's brother-in-law, he goes up to me. He's like, Kyle, dude, we're gonna do the thing. Ready? And I'm like, yeah. 1, 2, 3. And then everybody, hey.
It's always you're right. It never fails. After a win, it never fails to get a response.
Yeah, and so
walking down those spiral staircases at Ray J after a win, that's fun.
Or down the staircases at Amelie, or you know, when you're walking in the rotunda at the Tropicana Field. Yeah. Oh, the staircases at Amelie are the best because they echo so good. It's like, yeah. Just like, it sounds so loud.
But that chant is universal to all the teams. The war chant. Has really doesn't have a place in any part of Tampa. Like, if we were the Tampa Bay Seminoles, like, maybe.
Well, yeah. If we were the Tallahassee Buccaneers, then
you're right. We should change our name to the Seminoles.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Once we get Dalvin Cook in here, and you know Jimbo Fisher, hired.
We'll join Washington as team racist.
No. Jesus. No. The Dirk Cutter goes back to offensive coordinator. Jimbo Fisher comes in. He's going to be the new head coach. Then we'll do the chop. But no, seriously, it's got no place here down here in Tampa. We got our own mouth breather chant. Leave the chop up in Tallahassee. Yeah,
where it belongs.
Yeah, where it belongs. We'll do the.
I bet you hear it.
Oh, I don't. The whole thing with me is I don't want the Bucks to do it. I don't want them to do it on the scoreboard.
Oh, yeah,
right.
I get you.
Yeah, I have absolutely no problem with the fans starting that chant because I know that they're doing it because they're in support of our team and our quarterback.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like, I have no problem with that. I think it sends a weird message for the team to do that.
Yeah,
you know, over the video board because they're kind of saying that one player is above the entire team. When,
I mean, we should do it for Vern when he makes a good play or breaks up a pass. Right. We should all do the Gator Chomp.
We should do the Boomer Sooner for Gerald McCoy anytime he does, you know, on third downs.
You know how weird it would be for me as a Gator fan to go to a Gator game and then maybe go to a Bucks game the next day and go from chomping to doing a fucking tomahawk chop.
Well, if you don't, then you're just not a fan of the Bucks.
I guess not, Nick. This is really what it's coming down to. I just wanted to come on this podcast and say go Jaguars.
Oh, shit. Ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba-go, Jaguars.
Ba-ba-da-ba-record.
Well, Florida does seem to be playing in Jacksonville a lot lately. College Burn, right? College Burn?
Oh, shit.
Or Atlanta? Which one is?
Oh, Atlanta, yeah.
Yeah, where's the SEC championship?
Atlanta.
Yeah, okay, Atlanta, yeah. Okay, never mind. That fell on its face.
Did FSU make their conference championship this year? Did they make it?
No.
Oh, shit.
We didn't beat Clemson.
Yeah.
No, because we had a real schedule. I'm sorry.
Oh.
That North Carolina's kicker, Tomahawk, chopped you after making like a 56-yarder in
this
your house.
This is going to be fun, man.
That must have hurt.
You guys had trouble with Georgia Southern, so we'll just
figure
it out.
We lost to
Saturday.
Georgia Southern, thank you. We didn't have trouble.
Anthony,
we lost.
If we do this thing on Saturday, literally, it's going to be Nick versus everybody.
Really? Is this a Gator Town?
It's what happens.
Yeah. It's always Nick. You know what, Nick? I'll be on your side. If we do this on Sunday, I'll root for the
Seminoles. You know it's going to be my wife, too.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I'm going to be on your...
Don't worry. Jesse's on your side.
Oh,
Jesse's
okay.
a Gator.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'll root Seminoles this game. Just because I don't want everybody to be... Because, like, it's going to be...
Don't pick on me.
It's going to be literally...
Well, no. Why don't we pick on Nick? You know what? We should just all show up in Bulls gear and then just, like, act like we don't care about the game.
Oh, God. You know the undefeated... The Seminoles undefeated season? We were watching that game with Nick... we were at Hillsborough River Camp.
Which one?
The campground. Gators and the Seminoles.
Jameis
had like three picks.
I don't remember this.
Yeah, because they were so drunk. But like, I had no idea how Florida State won that fucking game.
Because our offense was anemic. That's why. It still is.
I started drinking at noon, and then I woke up, and I was in a shower at 6.
Oh, yeah.
Who put you in the shower, Nick?
He's like, I want my footy pajamas.
No, I got myself there.
Oh, okay, yeah. Good.
Footy pajamas.
I'm a strong, independent drunk.
So don't need no man.
A couple of pieces of news for the Buccaneers this week that came out. They have designated Charles Sims for return from injured reserve, which means... Well, that means that they will not be returning Vincent Jackson, so this is... This was as we already kind of knew, but like no more Vincent Jackson.
It was assumed.
It was assumed. Yeah, kind of knew that was going to be the case. So, I think
he's done here.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that sucks.
But I think sadly,
yes.
Charles Sims has the potential to come back and play the last four games of the year, which if the Buccaneers continue to play like they've been playing, that
might
could
not be the last four games.
Is that all that's left? Is four?
No. It's
it's designated for a certain date.
He's eligible eight weeks after he gets hurt. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
So those could be big games, and I still think he's a big part of our offense because is he our feature back? No, I think he's not that guy. That's not the guy he is. He's kind of
good third down back.
Yeah, he's a little bit like a Darren
Sproles.
But
he's a good one at that.
Yeah.
I don't know. He falls over too easily for me.
No, I'm just saying. I think he's kind of like a Darren Sproles kind of character, where you know he's good on sweeps and pitches and screens and passes. Like he needs space. He needs to work in space and do that. That's the kind of runner he is. He's not gonna find the hole, hit it, and break all those tackles. He's gonna break ankles. He's not gonna break tackles.
Apparently, we're good at screens now, which is weird. Because we were never good at screens.
Dude, I love our screen. I love the way we set up screens.
Drawn out, developing screens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
well, shit.
I'll say
man.
This much. As a Bucks fan, I'm like, broken play. Oh, that was on purpose.
Well, okay. when you got the offensive line situation that you got, you pull a goddamn guard, you put him out there, let Jameis get some pressure on him, and then he just dumps it off, and I'm like, fuck, it's a screen! And then by that time, it's too late. Doug Martin's already running 25 yards of field on you. So
that moment. Kyle had that moment that Iceland had. It's the goalie.
Mm-hmm. I love watching him develop because I can tell every. I mean, you could tell when it's about to happen because all Jameis is doing, he's just dropping back like Muhammad Ali, rope a dope. He's just like, yep, boom, just dropping off to Humphreys and he's just running up the field.
He's He's sneaky mobile.
He is sneaky mobile.
Sneaky mobile, but he's not white, which is weird.
Jarquizz Rodgers also is getting healthy. He's back at practice.
Yay, running back.
So we could have some offense.
Some weapons.
Some weapons returning.
A little bit of weapons.
At the right fucking time, because holy shit, we got some matchup.
We needed it.
We got some matchup this week.
Well, and I was talking to Kyle about this, specifically about our running back situation, but especially last game compared to the first game he came back, you saw how, like, oh, well, this is Doug Martin. This is why we have a number one back. Oh, okay.
Right. I mean, he's just able to hit.
He's able to get 3 yards.
Right.
When he plays, it looks like he's supposed to get nothing.
It would be a -1.
Yeah.
He gets 3. Yeah.
Yeah, which is much better, obviously.
It reminds me
for those of you that out there that like math.
Reminds me of Warwick Dunn back in the day when Warwick Dunn was just able to make something out of nothing.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's so funny. Back then we had Warwick Dunn and Derek Brooks, right? But then we had Riddell Anthony and
Do we have Ike Hilliard at one point?
We had Ike Hilliard.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I feel like we had another Ernest Graham.
Ernest Graham. Yeah.
Another Gator.
Yeah. Not a whole lot of, like,
we had a Kane and Warren Sapp.
Where did all the...
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. I don't mean to derail this again, but, like, where
oh, we're used to it. It's okay.
Where did all the spurrier talent go in the NFL?
What spurrier talent?
Oh, wow, Nick. Wow. Wow.
I'm just wondering. I'm just
How
curious.
How dare you talk ill of the visor?
You shots fired.
Spurrier, he put a lot of guys in the NFL, but I don't think they panned out in quite the way some of the...
When's the last time the Gators won the national championship?
2008.
Oh, shit, that's right. Okay, no. When did Steve Spurrier win a national championship?
96.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When we beat the shit out of Florida State in the title game.
Oh, wait, Emmitt Smith.
I can't remember.
He wasn't a Spurrier guy.
Oh.
Spurrier's the guy you guys named the field after, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So when is it going to be like Urban Meyer Stadium?
Yeah. Where's all the Doak Campbell fucking guys, Nick? I don't know.
Is that a booster?
I don't know who that is. Riddell Anthony with the Bucks, short, shitty, whatever. Oh, Jacquez Green. We had Riddell Anthony and Jacquez Green both on the Bucks, right?
Ike Hilliard was on the Bucks at one point.
Well, Ike Hilliard was a Giant, so, like, he was
a Jaguar, wasn't he? At some point,
yeah. And then you had Danny Werfel and Doug Robosacco.
Jack shit.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Fred Taylor.
Danny Werfel.
Oh, Fred Taylor. Okay. Yeah. There you go. Fred Taylor. Fred Taylor was a
Jaguar for a long
solid
time.
Fullback for the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's it. That's really Bob it.
Play for
did who?
The Bucks. The corner. The corner. Go down.
Let's go look. Let's go to the corner. Let's see. No, Anthony Lott. No. You're thinking of Ronnie Lott, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's
Where
interesting.
Where did Rondé go to school?
Rondé? Went to Virginia.
Oh, Virginia.
Tiki go?
With his brother.
Yeah, Tiki.
Tiki with the...
That guy retired early, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he retired the year before they won their first Super Bowl.
He was the problem.
Idiot.
Yeah.
I love you, Nick. Idiot. Oh, they won back-to-back?
No.
95, no. Yeah, right?
No. We lost in the... We went to the national championship that year and got killed by Nebraska.
All right, well, let's look at the 95 team. Just real quick. I'm sorry. I don't mean to derail us again.
I was in a curious mode. Right?
Yeah, I just want to know where all the talent went. Like, where did it all go? Because I can trace all that Florida State talent.
Spurrier had an offense that was, like, very pass heavy. It was like an air raid almost.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of talent on it, but it was like college level talent. They were just really good at beating people up in college. Not a lot of them translated to the NFL.
There's that Tebow guy.
Like, look at the scores during the year, like some of those games.
45-7, yeah. 62-73. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, if we were winning, we were putting up tons of points. That was how it went.
And they were never ranked number one. They went in number two and faced Nebraska. Well, they lost.
62-24.
I'm talking 96. But.
Yeah, 96. Actually, 96, we lost to Florida State in the regular season finale. And then we got a rematch with them in the national championship and kicked their ass, which was funny.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and Florida State fans still complain about that to this day.
And then they had Danny Wolf.
Okay, so serious question, Anthony. Is there a way... outside chance, be it that you guys can make it into the Final Four?
Yeah, there'd have to be some chaos, and we'd have to beat Bama.
Because you'd have to, yeah, you'd have to beat Bama to, in the SEC
you'd
championship.
You'd have to beat you guys,
game.
Which isn't going to be an easy game, obviously.
No.
And then we'd have to beat Bama.
Honestly, if you do, that's that pretty much puts you in the top 10, right? You just beat Florida State.
Yeah, you have to get to 4, though. You have to get to 4.
You're right. You're right. But I think beating Alabama proves that you might.
People have made that argument. There's been articles written about it, but people would in front of us would still have to lose. Some people they'd have to drop their conference championship or something like that. Probably, we'd probably get close. We'd probably be like number 6 or something like that.
It's a moot point because you're gonna lose to us on Saturday. So it's fine.
Yeah, we might
enjoy being maybe ranked in the top 25.
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
It's definitely gonna
happen. I'm looking at the 1999 Florida State Seminoles national championship team. There's as many jabronis
Chris
on this.
Chris Winkie.
Yeah, Chris Winkie, Peter Warwick. And nobody else. Literally.
College is so much different.
Who are these guys?
Not everybody's gonna try. The we've looked at it before. Miami's 2001 team.
Oh God.
Was like a Pro Bowl roster. Yeah.
I just want to look at it again.
Oh God, no, not this again.
Dude, they could beat
the Browns.
This is like the exception to that rule where every asshole is like, hey, what if the worst college team or what if the worst football team played the best college team?
Kyle, now that you're kind of searching, did anybody see the Browns fans sign?
No, bring on Bama. Oh, we want Bama.
Really?
Brown side says we want Bama.
I still think the Browns would kill him.
Oh, yeah. The Browns would demolish Bama. They would fucking wipe the floor with
him. I think Nick Saban would put
no.
up
a... What? No fucking way.
You know, someone talked about this in Twitter the other day, and the consensus was that if you look at an NFL roster, that's 53 guys that were good enough to play in the NFL.
Right.
When you look at a college roster, that's like maybe 5 guys who are good enough to play in the NFL, and the rest are never going to make it.
Right.
So unless Bama has a whole roster of NFL guys, which is totally possible considering Nick Saban's recruiting, but I don't think they do.
I was just about to say, if there is any team in college that could put up maybe 20, it's them.
They could probably score on them.
Yeah, I was going to say they probably.
But they wouldn't beat them, and they'd lose pretty badly.
No, I wouldn't say they. I would see. All right, I wouldn't say they beat him pretty badly, but I definitely agree that the Browns would win.
It would depend on the score or not the score, but the spread.
Yeah,
like you'd have to have.
What if it's in Alabama?
No,
doesn't matter.
Yeah. The Browns. Large, really loud crowd.
Doesn't matter.
See what I want to see. What I would rather see is I want to see the worst college team against the best NFL team.
Why would you want
to? I just want to see a slaughter
taking on Rhode Island State.
Who's the worst college team this year?
I just want to see.
It's probably so like Mountain Union State School for the Deaf and Blind. Like,
yeah, they're called the Deaf Leopards.
That's FSU's main rival, to be honest with you.
Where do you even start with that?
They have power rankings.
Oh, here we go. You know, speaking of rankings, the USF Bulls are
still not ranked.
Well, they're kind of flirting with a top 25 ranking.
Teams,
this is bullshit. We should be in the top 25 now. Our two losses are to two teams that are fucking good.
Click that. Keep clicking.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, Nick. I know. It's.
It's like, I understand that the Seminoles didn't have the year they wanted to this year. And, you know, Jesse's a little upset that the Gators lost the games that they did. But we're both like, really? What the fuck, USF? Like, why can't they get ranked?
Fresno State Bulldogs at 1-10.
Oof.
Against the Dallas Cowboys.
Welcome back to the first quarter where the score is 80-0. Dallas Cowboys. The Fresno State Bulldogs are just trying to get a yard at this point, and
they have yet to return a kickoff. They have yet to gain a single yard of offense, and what did you say the score was?
It's 28-0 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
More realistically, probably like 42-0 or something.
Yeah. That's 42-0 after the first quarter.
Fresno State is down to their punter at quarterback, and
okay, no, okay, well. All right. Here's how we're gonna play. Okay, I want to see the Dallas Cowboys versus Fresno State. If the score
Are we spotting Fresno State points?
No, I'm just saying if Fresno...
What's the handicap?
If Fresno State can't score a single point... No. If Fresno State can't make a first down in the first quarter, then the game is over after that point.
It sounds like a Madden challenge that you're doing.
Yeah. Just make a single first down.
Uber rookie.
Yeah.
This is what I miss about the NCAA football games was you took the worst team. You just turn them into a dynasty.
I love that.
The UTEP Miners have won their fifth straight national championship.
Yeah. I was always the Akron. Was it Akron Zips?
The Zips. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know who they're coached by?
Who?
Bobby Bowden's son.
Oh, I was gonna say Greg Schiano.
Really?
Yeah. Terry. I think his name's Terry Bowden.
Huh.
Terry Bowden.
Terry. Wasn't he at Clemson?
I think he was. I think he was the head coach there. What a mistake!
I used to love that with you do that with Madden. You trade every like
put
talented
on force trades.
You trade every talented vet away for draft picks, and then you just pick with like
the entire first round. Yeah, is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
You have the first five. every top five pick is
yours.
Draft
my franchise quarterback, my franchise right guard, my franchise right.
franchise left tackle.
And then then you throw in a created player just for good measure.
You're 6'8", 4'2". 4240 running back with a visor. Yeah.
Until you make him a kicker.
Yeah.
Hey, he's got 99 speed, but I only gave him like 80 agility.
You could never do that in the create a player mode. You could never be a kicker or a punter.
Nick and I once made a maxed out kicker. Like
making 80 yards.
Oh yeah.
But he was like 6'8".
He was 6'8". He was
very big.
Fully 6'8". Fat.
He looked like an ogre running down the field.
Yeah. But he would kick off and then beat the coverage and just completely light up the fucking returner. Are we going to talk about the Seahawks at all?
100% on tackling.
I thought we were talking about the Seahawks.
Oh, of course we are. Yeah.
No.
I don't know. We're going to do think it's the Seahawks, man.
It could be ugly.
To be honest, it could be ugly. Look,
I just don't know. Seriously, are we going to get the team that plays on the road or the team that plays at home?
We'd have to get one of the two.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Are the Bucs going to be the 4-1 team on the road or are they going to be the 1-4 team that plays at home? Seattle, it's a 4 o'clock game, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Seattle presents us a unique challenge this year because we've faced good defenses, but we've usually faced good defenses that are good in one area, and excel in one area, like their front seven's really good or their secondary is really good. Well, Seattle boasts top 10 both, and this is going to be that make or break moment for our offense to be able to prove that we're actually something, because if we can score in Seattle, then we can genuinely score.
Yeah, the O-line's going to have their best game probably of the year.
They're going to have to play as good or if not better than they did against Kansas City, and we know they did rather well against Kansas City.
In pass protection they
wait. Did. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Their strongest position is our weakest position. I mean, if you're matching Cliff Averill and Michael Bennett up against Donovan Smith and pick a guy. I'm not sure. I don't who's starting.
Benacock?
Yeah. No. Yeah, Caleb Benenacht. Yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah. So, it's I don't know, man. This is gonna be a tough game for us to win. Even though it's at home, but there's going to be a
lot
of...
If we win this one, Kyle's going to come back next week just masturbating.
Jesus Christ.
Well,
you know what this game is? This is essentially a playoff game, is what this game is.
Every game from this point out is basically a playoff game if we keep winning.
Well, I would say every NFC game for the rest of the season is a playoff game because it's going to come down to conference and interdivisional scheduling.
What are the standings look like right now? KFC. Are we like a half game out or something like that?
We're what from
the wild card.
Wild card, we're one and a half games out. We're 1.5 games because you gotta remember there was a tie thrown in there somewhere.
That's stupid.
Yeah, actually, it was Seattle who had the tie. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
So we can only benefit more from beating them.
Right. Russell Wilson, he's shifty as hell. He's hard to bring down.
I'm just looking at the roster talent. Michael Bennett, Cam Chancellor, Richard Sherman.
I cautious you, though, Cliff because Bennett's hurt. He didn't play last week.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but he's still good. Doug Baldwin.
Well, no, you're right, but
Jimmy Graham, who kills us.
Oh, yeah, we have to play Jimmy.
I think they finally figured out how to use him.
They did. Yeah. They do. They use him now.
So we are the projected eighth seed. Jesus Christ, NFL.com. Stupid. I hate it. They have the worst website. So we are how many games out from the wild card? I'm not sure.
1.5.
Yeah.
I believe.
Like it's just another bump in the road to a Super Bowl. That's all.
Look at this. Look at their fucking website. How do you even decipher? Yeah, who can make sense out of any of this bullshit? I hate it.
Lions are currently in a playoff spot.
God, even their stupid fucking fantasy football app. I hate them.
Oh my God, the Vikings are not.
I've got it right here. If you guys want,
go ahead. Give it to me.
Okay, so as we speak in the NFC, Dallas Cowboys 1, Seattle 2. Detroit 3, Atlanta 4, New York, Giants 5, Washington Redskins 6, and then the teams that just missed the playoffs, if it started today, would be the Minnesota Vikings at 6-4, followed by your Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 5-5.
Hey.
We are 1.5 games out because of the Washington tie.
But we're one game out of first place in the NFC South.
That's another route that we can take.
Yeah.
We split the season series with the Falcons, so...
I don't know, man.
We haven't even played the Saints yet.
I see. You're right. We don't play them until like the last four games of the season.
And then we play them two games. Not back to back, but 1 week and then the skip a week after that. So I don't know. I think that might be a blessing in disguise because New Orleans seems a little beatable this year.
I don't know. I was going to say the opposite. They seem to be pretty strong this year as compared to past years.
They're 4-6.
They're still in cap hell, yeah. So they lack some.
They still have the offense though.
And an aging Drew Brees is aging.
Yeah, but he's playing well again.
He is playing well. I don't know, man. But just back to this.
I've got him on my fantasy team. He's not that well.
Well, that's probably your fault for putting him on your fantasy team.
Yeah, really.
That's why he's not playing well, because you put him on your fantasy
team. Oh, fuck.
We mentioned it.
Oh, wait. It is Wednesday. So it's Waiver Wednesday. I forgot.
Are we going to do keys
Anthony
to the game?
Slapped the phone out of his hand.
Yeah, guys. Seattle's going to be a tough game. We got to get some keys to the game. So, keys to the game.
I love this choice.
I know, right?
I can't hear anything.
Well, you'll hear it on the show.
Oh, good. Just let me know when I need it.
Remember when he, like, called you out for cheating? He went through a little cave.
Wait, who? What call
the Penguin did.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, you cheated. You don't get the star.
Fuck you, Penguin. Yeah, you don't know me.
You're fucking Penguin.
Yeah.
The hell?
That game reminds me of staying home for winter break at school, and I spent the whole winter break playing that game.
Oh, so good.
It was between that and GoldenEye.
Did you 100% it?
No. Fuck no. No way.
It was so hard to 100% games because you didn't have the internet, so yeah. you had to find shit on your own.
You do it by yourself. My first key to the game is that Jameis Winston is going to have to listen to the war chop in his head prior to the game so that he has it in his head whenever he goes to play on third and fourth down or whatever. He just needs to have the war chop going. So that he could be fired up enough to be the same guy that he was in this game.
Yeah, Jameis Winston has lots of trouble getting fired up for things.
Yeah, so he's gonna need
as he yells at his former college team for not protecting the quarterback.
Wake up! He's gonna need to be prepared to do the seminal chop in his head. That's my key to the game. Do the seminal chop, Jameis.
Okay, Nick.
My key to the game is we're going to have to sneak into the Seattle locker room and switch out all of the players' weed with indica. Because, as you all know, indica is the strain that makes you all calm and want to sit in the couch. That's why. That's how you remember. It's in the couch.
Russell Wilson runs over to Pete Carroll because Russell Wilson's an angel and he doesn't smoke. So he's like, what's the play, coach? He's like, I don't know, Russell. Just,
I don't know, man.
Like, oh, what do you feel like?
Everybody just chill out. And, yeah, that's what we need. We need to slow down the reaction time and maybe even open a Taco Bell at the 50-yard line.
Okay.
My key of the game is to distract Richard Sherman with interviews during the post and pregame. Got to make sure that he's off his focus. You know, maybe may we trade for Michael Crabtree this week, you know, just to get him on edge. So, yeah, that's my key to the game. We got to make sure that Richard Sherman is not focused on the game.
Cool.
Off the ledge. Nick, have you figured out what game we were talking about yet?
No, I can hear your humming, and I was assuming it's a video game.
Well, have you figured out which game?
Nope. Is it Mario?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which one?
Two?
No.
64.
Oh, I never played that.
What?
It's a good game.
When that game came out, I was a PlayStation owner, and then
you're one of those weirdos.
No, I have an Xbox One now because I don't like PlayStation controllers. It feels weird.
They're made for little Asian hands. That's
right.
Jesus.
Right. Bet you Donald Trump has one.
Oh, so to wrap up this game,
can't handle this Xbox controller. It's too huge.
I don't think we're going to get away this game with our defense playing our secondary the way it has been playing, or at least
Chris Conte's elite.
Yeah, I think we've gotten pretty lucky these last couple of weeks in terms of matching up talent for talent, our defense versus their offense. We're facing a truly talented offense this time with Russell Wilson, Jimmy Graham, Doug Baldwin. They've got plenty of weapons to attack us with. So the secondary is going to have to get their shit together this game and really limit maintain that bend but don't break mentality that they had with Kansas City for us to have a chance. I still think that the offense is going to do well this game in spite of the fact that we're playing a very talented defense. I think we're still going to be able to move the ball. It's going to come down to limiting those points on defense.
So you're saying the defense needs to be the defense.
It's very easy for this game to be a blowout. I can very easily see this be a blowout because of the way we play on defense and the way that their offense or the way that their defense plays. I'm sorry, they're going to force some three and outs. We got to be ready for that.
James
on defense.
Is going to have to be excellent again.
Yeah,
he's gonna have to be spotless.
Yeah, man, they got a secondary.
He's gonna have to be as good as FSU Twitter claims he is.
They have a secondary that scares the shit out of me.
Yeah,
Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor, and those guys are just ball hawks. So
that's a good actual key to the game, Nick. Jameis Winston has to play to FSU Twitter standards,
which means Tom Brady.
To God level, God quarterback.
Create a player level.
Yeah. Yeah. 99 down and all his
stats.
He's
going to come out with a visor and ripped by fucking gigantic arms. And he's going to be able to stiff arm Richard Sherman 5 yards.
And the announcer on the Madden thing's not going to know his last name. The quarterback with the throw.
That was my favorite thing.
The quarterback number three.
When you broke a big run with your creative player running back, and he's to the 20. That guy, he's to the 40. Yeah.
There he goes. Yeah. He's there, in there.
There he
What a play.
Did anybody ever make defensive creative players? Was that a
Not so much. I usually, it would either be running back for me or quarterback.
Receivers.
I always made a tight end.
Yeah, receivers, they contributed nothing. Yeah.
It's, you just run around all game, running your route, and never getting the ball thrown to you.
Oh, wait, do you mean on like the pro mode? Where like you are the player.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was dumb for me. Yeah, I hated that. I would just make up my own route. I just run a go route every play.
Fuck you, throw it to me.
I'm not running my route. Give me the guy.
Yeah, that's when you're looking at, as the wide receiver, you're looking, you're like, well.
Well, in the early games, the quarterbacks
go sit over the middle.
The quarterbacks were programmed to throw to that route.
Yeah.
So if he ran a go route, he would still throw to the route that you were running, that you're supposed to be running.
Whatever. My mom was an ice skater. My dad was a track star. I'm running this fucking go route.
Ice skater.
Remember that?
What was the NHL game that was a lot like NFL Blitz?
NHL Blitz.
It was like face.
Was that NHL Hits?
Hits, yeah, that's what it was.
NHL Hits.
Yeah.
It was three.
Not affiliated
three.
With Blitz.
Yeah, it was 3v3. Yeah.
It was basically NBA Jams, but for hockey.
Yeah. He's on fire. I haven't played NBA Jams in forever.
I remember NBA Jam for
the game where you like you scored a goal that went through the net and through the back and through the
into the crowd.
Yeah. I love that. Love that game.
That and Slugfest were the best games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because San Jose actually had a shark tank in their shark tank.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Look at the animations in this game. This is just so like robotic.
What was this from? Like Sega or what?
I forget.
Oh, this looks awesome.
I think I had it on Genesis. Can you screen mirror? I want to see what you're looking at.
Sean O'Donnell.
Who?
Let's see.
Hockey games, man. That's a hard. Those get back in the day. Hockey games were always the most fun, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Look how fast.
3-on-3,
so
baby.
So quick. So yeah.
I still, like, NFL Blitz was always one of my favorite ones.
What was the game where, like, if you're, there was a football game, and if Blitz the League, if your guy got hurt, you can give him steroids on the sideline and stuff like that?
All right, yeah, like, they were, like, they were the cool the football game.
Yeah.
No, it was like Blitz the League. They couldn't use like licensed players. So like they had like Lawrence Tynes. He was on the cover.
Lawrence Tynes.
We're not Lawrence Tynes, but
the kicker. That's
no.
On the cover of
what was his name?
Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Lawrence Taylor.
Lawrence Taylor. Yeah. That guy.
Look how big the players were in this game.
Oh, I loved Blitz.
It's Marcus Mariota. Okay.
Oh, it is Marcus Mariota. Oh, look, it's Josh Freeman. This is pretty recent.
Yeah, they remade it recently.
Did they?
Yeah.
I'm surprised the NFL allowed that.
Well, they still give out like EA. I think it was made by EA.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because
it is. Yeah.
Yeah, those fuckers canceled the fucking 2K series.
Yeah, but where's the late hits? I want late hits. That was the best part.
You gotta look up Blitz the League for that.
No. NFL Blitz late hits.
Yeah, you just kind of. It turned into WWE after the play.
Yeah, because your friend would get a first down. You're like, fuck you.
Fuck you. You might get this, but you won't have a spine.
Yeah, 2000 NFL Blitz. That's what you want. Great
game.
That's
the good year.
I remember my mom got this for me for my birthday, and that was before I was like a huge NFL fan, so I was like pissed.
Oh, yeah, the old strategy of running back and forth so nobody can take it.
That's right. The fucking cheesy things that people would do in these games.
It was just like in the Tecmo, but look how far you drop back.
You drop back to the throw. Fuck this game. This game's so dumb.
4th and 20, was that what that was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this is with Michael Vick, though. You could do anything with Michael
Vick.
Oh,
yeah. Well, Vick was the best in every football game ever made.
So. Oh, no, wait. This is Chandler.
Look at this fucking...
The flea flicker. What are they doing?
They're throwing it back and forth to one another.
You're kidding me. Well, now he's got to... He can't throw it again. Yeah, they're behind their line of scrimmage, aren't they?
Dude, the guy's throwing it... You're talking about rules in this game?
Yeah, there's no. Yeah,
we're watching
the game where when your friend was running down the a streak and you tackled him when the ball was in the air and you didn't get a penalty called.
Oh Jesus!
Like, how do you defend this? Like,
they just keep what we're watching is like the two players in Blitz are throwing it to each other across the field. Like constantly throwing as soon as the ball snaps.
I love the animation for the drop back. It's just like a stutter step.
Yeah. All right. Let's get out of here. We could do this all day. Okay. Sharkdropper.com. Check out all of our podcasts. Patreon.com/sharkdropper
right off the rails.
To donate to us. Bold predictions. Anybody? Anthony.
Oh yeah. The heat's on you. I'm supposed to get one. Vernon Hargreaves gets his first. He gets two picks this week. Picks on Russell Wilson, and we still lose by 20.
Jameis Winston does not throw an interception this game.
Ooh.
All right. Gerald McCoy with 2.5 sacks.
Okay, yeah, we're going bold. We didn't give any predictions for this game. I don't think. Oh. I think I'm okay for that.
Yeah. Should we?
I don't know. I don't want to. I don't want to jinx it.
Well, we did it last week.
It comes out those weeks. It's like, I think it's easy for us to comment and predict when the team's woeful because we don't feel like we have an effect. Now that we're 5-5, I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
I got a bad feeling. I feel like the Bucs are going to drop this one. We've gotten our hopes up. They're playing well. They're playing better. I think we've taken big steps. And in spite of losing this upcoming game, I think there's still reason for optimism. But I think I see us losing and perhaps even losing big, like big embarrassing loss.
Coming back down to earth kind of game?
Yeah, kind of that's what I see for us.
But if we win,
then...
Holy shit.
Kyle, you guys got to keep sucking those dicks, man.
I got to keep sucking those dicks. No, if we win, it's going to be one of those things where I finally start to feel really, really good about this team, and I start predicting each subsequent game.
We start getting overly optimistic.
Yeah, we start getting overly optimistic.
Instead of pessimistic.
Jesus Christ, if we win this game, everything's on the table at this point.
It could happen, man.
Everything's on the table if we win this game.
It's not out of the question. I mean... weirder shit has happened. We probably should have lost last week, but
yeah,
but it didn't. Could happen again.
It would be a monumental win for this franchise, a win that we haven't had.
Biggest win in Jameis Winston's career.
Biggest win.
In back-to-back weeks.
Biggest win since the Super Bowl year.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Since we won the Super Bowl, I think this would be the biggest win since then in terms of just what it means to our franchise. It would show that we have truly turned a corner as a franchise. So lots of implications placed on this game. If we win it, holy shit. Then we could start talking playoffs. Then we can start talking.
Yeah, we'll go with
beyond.
That.
Then we can start talking wild card. And
yeah,
that's the official word of the base statement on this game. If they win it, we will come back next week and start talking playoffs seriously.
Yeah. Until then,
playoffs.
Playoffs. They're talking about playoffs.
Kidding me?
Yeah. Okay.
Playoffs. While they
playoffs?
Put him in the box.
Why don't we win a game?
Yeesh. Hey, we won a couple games. All right.
Yeah, we have 5 wins. God damn it.
Everybody have a great Thanksgiving. You're listening to this on Thanksgiving. Everybody, I hope you're having a great weekend. We will talk to you guys on the Rap Reaction Podcast this Sunday. Mm-hmm. Win or loss.
As we recover from our rivalry week hangovers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe we'll do a little rap.
Anthony and I start talking to each other in non-curse words.
Nah, I won't be that mean-spirited.
Fuck you!
Nick will.
Yeah.
All right, guys. That has been More of the Vape this week. I'm Kyle.
I'm Nick.
I'm Anthony.
See you next week.
Bye.